Parshas Vayechi. In Parshas Vayechi we find the end of the life of Yaakov Avinu, and the Torah writes in Perek Memtes Posuk Lamed Gimel, Vayechal Yaakov Letzavos Es Bonov, and Yaakov concludes his instructions, his final instructions to his children, Vayesev Raglov El Amito, and he gathers his feet into his bed, Vayigva, and he expires. It doesn't say clearly the word vayomus. In Parshas Chayei Sarah, for example, with regard to Avraham Avinu, there it does say quite clearly vayigva vayomus, he expired and he died. So too in Parshas Vayishlach, with regard to Yitzchok Avinu, it says there vayigva Yitzchok vayomus. So both with regard to Avraham and to Yitzchok, it does say the word vayomos. Not so with regard to Yaakov Avinu. With regard to Yaakov Avinu, it does not say the word vayomos. It says vayigva, and he expired. It would seem to be obvious, however, that he did die. After all, what else could vayigva possibly mean? Especially when, in the next perek, it says vayachantu horofim, and the doctors embalmed him. Well, surely you don't embalm somebody who's still alive. Furthermore, later on it says, they came vayispedu shom, and they gave a hesped. In this place, goyren ha'ota, they gave hespedim. So surely we have absolute circumstantial evidence that Yaakov Avinu died. Although it does not say the word vayomais, but there was certainly a chanota, which is embalming. There were certainly hespedim, and therefore we would seem to have absolute proof that he died. Yet, all the while, we must remember it does not clearly say that Yaakov Avinu died. And as we well know, the Gemara in Tanis in fact tells us, Yaakov Avinu loimes, in fact, did not die. And Tosfos indeed says, the reason why the Gemara is saying this is precisely because the Torah does not write vayomos. The Torah only writes vayigva. Vayigva means, and he expired. So therefore the diuk in the pasuk seems to be very overwhelmingly obvious. Avram and Yitzchok, it says vayigva vayomos. With Yaakov, it just says vayigva. It doesn't actually say vayomos at all. And that therefore leads us to the conclusion, Yaakov Avinu loy mes. Now the Gemara immediately asks this question: how on earth can you suggest that Yaakov Avinu loy meis, but after all, they gave hespedim? And after all, there was chanota, there was embalming. Why would there be a chanota? Why would there be hespedim for somebody who was still alive? To which the Gemara answered, Mikra ani doirish. I can extrapolate absolutely clearly from the pasuk that Yaakov Avinu is actually still alive. Because there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that compares Yaakov Avinu to his descendants. Just like the descendants of Yaakov Avinu are still alive, so too Yaakov Avinu is also alive. And that's the end of the Gemara. So again, on the one hand, there is this statement, Yaakov Avinu loimes, did not die. What about the fact that they did chanota? What about the fact they did hespedim, says the Gemara? Well, what should I do? The pasuk clearly indicates in Yirmiyahu, there is a comparison to his children, his descendants are alive, he is alive, and Rashi explains, so why indeed did they do hespedim then? Why indeed did they do chanota? Rashi says, svurim hoyu shemes, because they thought that he died. Nidme lohem shemes, he appeared as if he had died, avol chai hoyo, but actually he was alive. So this is a fascinating Gemara. We would seem to have a contradiction. On the one hand, we have evidence. What's the evidence that Yaakov Avinu died? circumstantial evidence because they were hespedim and there was a chanota. And on the other hand, we have a drosha that tells us that Yaakov Avinu is alive. Which one wins the day? So let me share you the outlook of Reb Leib Chassman, the great mashgiach of the Chevron Yeshiva. And he said, imagine if you would see your friend Reuven. You see him, he's there in the flesh. And yet, when he starts talking, he sounds like somebody else completely, Shimon. So I'm completely confused. Is this Reuven or is this Shimon? We would obviously all decide it must be Reuven. Why? I can see him in front of me. Yeah, but I can hear Shimon. It's true, but I can see Reuven. So if I have to now juggle seeing versus hearing, we would all agree that what's a more powerful sense? Seeing. Take that even further. Imagine somebody told you with absolute certainty, there's a fellow called Reuven, he's dead. 30 seconds later, he walks through the door. So what do I say? Ah, well, I see clearly that he's alive. And your friend maintains, no, 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 I'm telling you he's dead. What do you mean? I can see him in front of me. So I've got a contradiction. On the one hand, I can see him. On the other hand, my friend is telling me that he's dead. And we would all agree that I would absolutely rely on the sense of re'ia, the fact that I can see, as they say, seeing is believing, and that would outweigh all other evidence. Even if I have 1,000 edim who tell me that somebody died, but if he walks through the door and I can see him, I would say, I'm sorry, I can see with my own eyes that he's alive. Says Reb Leib Chassman, now let's bring that back to our Gemara. We too have a contradiction. On the one hand, we have evidence. The evidence seems to suggest that Yaakov Avinu clearly died. They did hespedim. They did chanota. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, we have a posuk in Yirmiyah that says clearly that Yaakov Avinu did not die. And what is the conclusion of the Gemara? The posuk wins the day. The posuk wins the day, so much so that I'm going to have to say, with regard to your evidence that he had a hesped or a chanota, well, apparently that was all a mistake. They just thought he died, but the Torah wins the day. The Torah always wins the day. And this was the very important hashkafa that Reb Leib Chassman is sharing with us, that the reality is always dictated by what it says in the Torah. If I have a pasuk that says clearly that Yaakov Avinu did not die, then you can stack against me all the evidence in the world. I'm sorry, the reality as far as I'm concerned is that he's alive and well, because that's what the Torah says. That's what the Torah says. And the same would be, by the way, in our moshel before. If the Torah, for example, would say that Reuven is dead, and all of a sudden Reuven walks through the door, once again, we'd have a contradiction. What would we do? The answer is, the Torah wins the day. What do you mean? But I can see with my own eyes that he's walked through the door. Apparently he's alive. But the Torah says he's dead. And that is the reality. That is the Metzius. Says Reb Leib Chassman, so too over here as well. Even if I have evidence, and it seems to be overwhelmingly clear evidence. They did a hesped for Yaakov Avinu. What could be clearer than that? They did a chanota. They embalmed him. That's true. But the Torah writes, it's a posuk in Yirmiyah, that Yaakov Avinu is still alive. That, therefore, is a conclusion. That is my reality. That is my reality. We have a Gemara which the Brisker Rav explained for us in similar vein. The Torah writes that Yeshua ben Nun was the faithful servant of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua ben Nun loy yomish mitoich oil. He was never removed from the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara in Tumura tells us the following. That when Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifta, he said to Yehoshua, Sha'al mimeni kol hasfekus sheyesh lecha. You can ask me now, this is your final opportunity, said Moshe Rabbeinu. Now's the time to ask me if you have any final questions, any sfekus. Upon which Yeshua ben Nun responded, why would I have any sfekus? Why would I have any questions? I've been at your side at every given moment. Doesn't it say in the Torah that Yeshua ben Nun lar lo yomish mitoich oil? So said Yeshua to Moshe Rabbeinu, doesn't it say in the Torah that I never left your side? Everything is perfectly clear to me. So once again, the Brisker Rav asked, why did Yeshua need to bring a proof from the Pasuk? Yeshua ben Nun knew, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew, that yes, they remember very well, Yeshua has forever been at his side. Why is it necessary to say, and the Torah says that Yeshua never left Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Brisker Rav once again the same Yesod. That is the ultimate reality. All the evidence we know, we experience, we saw, we felt, but that doesn't reach the reality of the fact that the Torah says that Yeshua never left Moshe Rabbeinu's side. There is a story recorded in the Gemara in Gittin. The famous story. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wanted to save whatever he could at the time of the Churban. In particular, he wanted to save Yavne v'chachomeho. So he went to the Roman general Aspasianus. And when he greeted him, he said to him, Shalom Olecho Malko, greetings unto you, the king. Upon which Aspasianus replied, you deserve to die. Why do I deserve to die? He says, because I'm not the king. I'm the army general, but I'm not the melech. Why are you referring to me as a melech, as if you're mocking me? I'm not the king. To which Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai responded, I'm sorry to tell you, you are the king. And I can prove it to you. Because the Pasuk in the Novi says that Yerushalayim will fall in the hands of the Melech. And if we see that Yerushalayim is now beginning to fall, it must be that you're the Melech. It says there that they checked and indeed they heard that the king had just passed away and Aspasianus, in fact, had become, unbeknown to him, had become the king. So the Alter from Navarduk pointed out once again the same principle. How could Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai take this enormous risk to his own life, to the lives of Klal Yisrael, by addressing Aspasianus as the king? There was no evidence that he's a king. The answer is, when I have a posuk, I don't need evidence. That is the reality. If the posuk says that Yerushalayim can only fall in the hands of the king, and I see Yerushalayim falling, then all the evidence in the world is irrelevant. The metzius, the reality, is dictated by the Torah and by the Torah only. And if the Torah says that Yerushalayim will fall in the hands of the king, then he must be the king. But it doesn't seem to be that way. That's not my problem. The Torah says he's the king. Indeed, it transpired that he was. There was no evidence. The evidence seemed to suggest the other way around, that he was not a king. That doesn't matter. All the evidence in the world is irrelevant if I have a posuk in the Torah that tells me Yerushalayim will only fall and be captured by the hands of the king, you must therefore be a king. Another story. This is a story in the Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Ches. It says that Rav Sheshes was blind. On one occasion, it was told that the king was coming to town, the town of Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes went together with somebody else to await the arrival of the king. Rav Sheshes could not see. He was blind. There was no way that he could see the arrival of the king. But the person with him all of a sudden heard a big commotion in the background and said to Rav Sheshes, "Well, it must be the king arrived." And Rav Sheshes said, "No, loy ko'osi malko, the king has not come." And this happened once or twice. And he said to him, eventually, they were waiting for the king's arrival, and the commotion died down, and there was absolute silence. And Rav Sheshes said to his friend, "The king has now come." He said, "Well, how do you know? You can't see." He says, "It's true. But there's a posuk that says, loy beruach, veloy be'esh, veloy berash. A king arrives not in a whole commotion, not in a noise, not in fire, but rather koil demomo dako. Absolute silence." In other words, Rav Sheshes was not privy to any evidence. He couldn't see the evidence. Why not? Because he was blind. Said Rav Sheshes, "It doesn't matter. My evidence is the Torah. And if the Torah says that the king arrives amidst absolute silence, then for me that is the reality. It doesn't matter whether it sounds like the king has arrived or it looks like the king has arrived, but the reality is the posuk says the king arrives b'koil d'momo dako." It is told that the Chofetz Chaim once said to somebody, "Tell me, do you think the sun will rise tomorrow?" And this person was surprised by the question, and he said to the Chofetz Chaim, "Obviously, of course the sun will rise tomorrow." Said the Chofetz Chaim, "Well, how do you know?" "How do I know? I mean, the sun rose today, it rose yesterday, and the day before that, and that's the way it's always been, so why should tomorrow be any different?" So the Chofetz Chaim says, "I hear, I appreciate it. Yes, you have solid evidence. Do you know something? I agree with you. I also think the sun will rise tomorrow. Do you know how I know? Because the Torah writes, Yoim volaylo loy yishboisu. They will never stop the cycle of day and sun. That's how I know it. You know it from scientific, circumstantial evidence. I know it from the Torah. If the Torah says there will always be a cycle of Yoim volaylo, and it will never abate, then it will never abate. The fact that you could prove it empirically, mathematically, scientifically, that's all very interesting. But it's irrelevant when the Metzius, as far as I'm concerned, is dictated to by the Torah." I once noticed that in a Rashi in Parashas Lech Lecha, when it's talking about Avraham Avinu going south, Rashi says, Eretz Mitzrayim is the south of Eretz Yisrael. Egypt is the south of Eretz Yisrael. Says Rashi, K'moy shemoychiach b'maso'ois u'b'gvulei ha'aretz. Says Rashi, "Do you know how I know? Look in the Psukim that talk about the journeying and the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and you will see that Mitzrayim is to the south of Eretz Yisrael." Why does Rashi need to back up his statement by looking at the borders and looking at the traveling? I mean, everybody knows, look, open your eyes, travel to Mitzrayim, and you'll see that's where it's situated. Mitzrayim is to the south of Eretz Yisrael. And the answer is, once again, what I see and what I sense and what I feel and what I hear is all irrelevant if I have a posuk in the Torah. If the Torah writes that Mitzrayim is the south of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah dictates the reality. The Metzias is dictated by the Torah. And that's what it means in our parasha. When the Torah writes, Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis, you can have all the evidence in the world that seems to suggest otherwise. They embalmed him. They eulogized him. It doesn't matter. But the Pasuk says in Parshas in the Yirmiyahu, that Yaakov Avinu is alive, and that is the Metzias. The only Metzias that exists is the Metzias that is dictated to by the Psukim in the Torah. Me'inyin le'inyin, a yesoid that we've discussed and mentioned in the past, and it's always important to refresh. When we turn the clock back all the way to the beginning of time in Parashas Bereishis, we know that every single prat, every detail of Briyas Ha'olam is written in the Torah and occurred in order to teach us a lesson. You look in Parashas Bereishis, on several occasions Rashi points out, what is this teaching us? What is that teaching us? For example, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Na'ase Odom, Rashi says, this teaches us Derech Eretz. Every prat of the Bria is there to teach us something. So let's ask a question. Don't we all know the famous principle of the Zoya? Istakel Bo'iraisa? Ubara Alma, Kadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah and created the world. The world is, as it were, the blueprint of the world is the Torah. The Torah is the byproduct, the world is the byproduct of the Torah. What does that teach us? What does that teach us? If every aspect, every detail of Briyas HaOlam is there to teach us something, what are we being taught by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah and built the world? And the answer is, we are being taught the ultimate lesson. Construction of the world is based kol kulei on the Torah. The Torah, just like we said before, is kaveya the metzias above all other physical and circumstantial evidence. The Torah is in fact the basis of the world. And that's what we have to live our lives as well. Every decision, every mahalach of ours, the thought must always be, is this based on the Torah? In the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world, that's the way that I'm building myself. I've got to build myself. I am an oilom koton. I've got to build my world like HaKadosh Baruch Hu built his. In other words, based on the Yesodos of Torah. And this is, like I mentioned, the Yesod that we've discussed on several occasions, the difference, therefore, between us and Gedolei Yisrael. Gedolei Yisrael, those who have saturated their lives with Torah, Omol HaTorah, are described in the Torah as being the Einei Ho'eda. The Einei Ho'eda, the eyes. Why are they called the eyes? On several occasions, the Torah talks about the Gedolim as being the eyes, the Einei Ho'eda. And the Rambam writes, because they are the Balei Ho'einayim Ho'amitiyos. They have real eyes. What they see is not the physical world, like we said before. What they see is the real reality. What they see is everything through the lens of the Torah. You and I can be looking at exactly the same thing, and we might well see two different things, because my glasses are tinted green and yours are red. That will inevitably dictate the way that we see and perceive whatever it is that's standing in front of us. The glasses of Chazal, the glasses of Talmidei Chachomim, the glasses of Gedolei Yisrael, what colors are they tinted? They are tinted with the colors of the Torah. They see through everything through the prism, through the perspective of Torah, and that's of course what we call Das Torah. That's their reality. Their reality is everything through the lens of the Torah. We know, for example, the Torah writes that you have to listen to the Chachamim, whatever they tell you, yamin u'smol. And we have that famous Rashi, that even if they tell you right is left or left is right, you have to listen to them. Why? Surely I know what's my right hand and what's my left hand. And the answer is because if I'm sitting facing you and I say, this is my right, you will disagree. Why will you disagree? Because you're looking opposite me in a different direction. And from your perspective, right is on the other side. And so too, left is on the other side. When Chazal tell us that we must listen to Chazal, whether they tell us right is left and left is right, the answer is because they're looking at things from a different perspective. From which perspective? From the perspective of Torah. Circumstantial evidence, public opinion, science, that's all irrelevant to a Godel B'Yisrael. The only Metzias is, what does it say in the Torah? Like we said before, there could be Chanota, there could be Hespedim, but the Torah says that Yaakov Avinu is not dead, so Yaakov Avinu is not dead. Period. Full stop. End of sentence. There is a famous tshuva, which we have referred to in the past. Reb Moshe Feinstein wrote a groundbreaking tshuva on a certain inyan of Evan Hoezer. He received a complaint. Somebody wrote back, it's quite clear in Moshe's response, somebody must have written back very sharply, and he gave toichocha to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Moshe Feinstein. This psak of yours is going to cause a terrible kilkul in Klal Yisrael with regard to Yuchzin. And Moshe Feinstein writes back the most incredible words. He says, your complaint against me comes Mehashkofois sheboim miyedias deois chitzonios. Your hashkofas are clearly based on the outside world. Va'ani baruch Hashem, he writes about himself, eini loy mehem v'loy mehamoino. I'm not one of them. I'm not like you. Listen to the words of Moshe Feinstein that he writes about himself. V'kol hashkofosi, all of my hashkofas, urak miyedias hatoiro. Bli shum ta'arovus, without any mixture, without any infiltration, miyedias chitzonius. Who can be masvid Reb Moshe Feinstein better than Reb Moshe Feinstein himself? All of my yediyos, all of my hashkofas come from one place and one place only. What is that? The Torah. I'm not capable, says Reb Moshe, of thinking anything which is not aligned with the Torah. Reb Elchanan Wasserman once said an incredible statement. We hear the phrase Das Torah. Said Reb Elchanan, you know something? Everybody has Das Torah. Every single person has Das Torah. However, if my brain is full of 90% things that are not relevant to Torah, and I fill my brain with 10% of Torah, then I have 10% Das Torah. But Gedolei Yisrael, whose minds and every fiber of their being only contains 100% Torah, then they have 100% Das Torah. That is their Metzius. That is their Metzius. The Sfas Emes, at a young age, became the Rebbe of Gur, and people from far and wide used to come and ask him eitzes. And somebody once asked him, it's unbelievable, every eitzah you give always seems to work, and your psak is always seems to be correct, and your advice always seems to work out in the best. You have Ruach HaKodesh? And he answered, no, I don't. But any question that comes my way, I have in front of my eyes Dalad Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. And based on that, I give a psak and I give my advice. So obviously it works out. There is no reality in the eyes of the Sfas Emes, or in the eyes of Rav Moshe Feinstein, or in the eyes of any Godel B'Yisrael, other than the reality of Torah. Nothing else matters. Let me just conclude with one incredible story. The Briska Rav, at a very young age of 23, was a Rav in his town of Brisk. One year on Rosh Hashanah, in the middle of him davening, he was in the middle of Tefillah Shachris, some of the local army generals came in and they said, "Where is the Rav of the Shul? We need to speak to him." But he was davening. Why did they need to speak to him? Because they said there's been a certain Jew who was put on trial, found to be guilty, and he's going to be put death today. And as his final request, he's requested that the Rav comes to say vidui with him. So we're going to grant him this request. We're requesting that the Rav comes. But the Rav was in the middle of davening. So they said, "We're not going to disturb him. After the Rav finished his Shmoneh Esrei, they told the Briska Rav that, "Listen, these people came. They didn't want to disturb you. They said they're going to come back later. There's a poor Jew who's going to be killed today and he wants to say vidui." The Briska Rav says, "Well, if they come back, I'm not going. And the people in the community were shocked. "You're not going?" And they're very upset with the Briska Rav. "Do you realize you could endanger the whole community if the authority is here that the rabbi refused to adhere to instructions?" He says, "I'm not going." Indeed, later on in the day, the army generals came back and the Briska Rav pretended that he was davening Shmoneh Esrei, this time Musaf, and he continued davening and davening, quote unquote, and they didn't want to disturb him. The members of the Kehila were extremely upset. "What's this whole game? Why does he not want to go?" And one of them decided, "You know what, I'll go instead." And he said to the authorities, "Actually, I'm also a rabbi. I can go." "Oh, okay, we'll take you instead." And off he went. Later on in the day, the Briska Rav was at home, and all of a sudden, some police arrive. The family were very nervous. Maybe they've come to arrest the Briska Rav. Maybe indeed they're very upset with him. Why didn't he come early on? It turns out that no. These police came from the courthouse where this Jew had been tried. And they said, the Briska Rav, it just turns out, we've just found out now that it was all a mistake. And that this Jew who is supposed to be killed, no, he's not supposed to be killed after all. We hope, the police said, that the Briska Rav hasn't left to say vidui with him. Because if he's gone to say vidui with him, then he's going to be put to death, and it turns out it was mistaken identity. But what in fact had happened, this other volunteer who claimed that he's also a Rav, he indeed had gone and said vidui with this person, and this person was put to death. They said to the Briska Rav afterwards, "Why did you not want to go? What a shame it is that indeed this other person didn't listen to your instruction. Indeed, had you not gone, and had nobody gone, then we could have saved this Jew." Said the Briska Rav, "Why did I not go? You think I have Ruach HaKodesh?" Very simple. They told me that what? They want a Rav to come and say vidui with this person and then they're going to put him to death. The halacha is you cannot do anything to speed up somebody's death. That's why I refuse to go. I knew that if I go and say vidui with him, they will immediately put him to death. It's osa la halacha. How can I go and say vidui if that will precede his death? What a shame it is that this other person thought he's a big chacham, took my place, indeed went and said vidui, and not only preceded his death, but actually caused his death. Had only he not gone, we would have saved him. It would have turned out it was mistaken identity. He wouldn't have been killed at all. But that's the outlook of the Briska Rav. Yes, it may look like circumstantially you're putting people in danger and the community, but the halacha is the halacha. You cannot put somebody to death. You cannot even precede somebody's death. And that is the only metzius. That is the only cheshbon. That is the only shikul of somebody who's a gadol b'Torah, whether he's age of 23 or 123. And all of that is the limud in our parasha. Yaakov Avinu loy meis. But there's evidence that seems to support that he did die. They said a hesped for him. They did a chanata for him. All irrelevant. If there's a pasuk that says clearly in Yirmiyahu he didn't die, then he didn't die. Why is that? The reality is the Torah. The only metzias which matters to us is the metzias of the Torah HaKadoshah.